Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The psalmist extolled the Word of God in the 19th Psalm, listing its many attributes. These are days that sap our joy. Only by focusing on the Word of God can we have joy the world cannot take away. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Now, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on being changed by the Word. Turn with us again to Psalm 19 as we learn more about how the Word of God teaches us.
Do you remember the story, of course, how David committed the twin sins of murder and adultery? And yet when he confessed his sin, he said, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit, with thy right spirit." How could a man who made such a mess still find joy? Well, he found it where you and I find it when we mess up. To come to God to be forgiven and to be received, the precepts of the Lord remind us that there can be joy given by God even in the midst of failure. Jesus said, "These words I have spoken unto you, that ye may rejoice." The Bible teaches about a kind of rejoicing that is really not even related to circumstances. Only the precepts of the Lord can do that, because where are you going to go to find hope? Well, we have to continue. You notice that the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Today, people think to themselves they are enlightened because they are free. Someone said, and I don't know who it is, but it's a wonderful quote. He said, "The real object of human beings is not freedom, but rather to find out who your master really is." Because nobody is exactly free. You don't accept God as your master. The freedom that you will have is the freedom to live according to your selfish desires, and eventually you will be overtaken by sin. And so what David said is, the commandment of the Lord is pure. That is to say, it is clear. It is not contaminated. And it enlightens you. It gives you perspective. A moment ago, I told you about simpletons who allow everything in, and they don't know where the beauty is. They don't know where to put it unless they are made wise by the Word. Another way to look at it is, a friend of mine said that he lived in France, close to Mont Blanc, which is really connected between Switzerland and France. And he said that there was this house that really faced the beautiful mountain of Mont Blanc. And he said the shutters were always closed. He could never understand that. But there are times when we forget that when we come to the Word of God and we are open to its message, it will keep us from being the simpleton we spoke about a moment ago, and it will give us enlightenment, and we'll say to ourselves, "Where have I been all these years? Stumbling around, trying to make the best of life, not understanding reality, not understanding what things are about." Well, the Word of God, the commandment is pure. It will enlighten your eyes. You'll notice it says it is clean. Now we're in verse 9, and it says the fear of the Lord. Remember this, in context, the word fear is a synonym for the Bible. It's a synonym for the law of God, the fear of God. Calvin, the great theologian, said we should give the Word of God the same reverence that we give God, the fear of the Lord. Of course, when I say that, I don't mean that we worship this book, that is to say, with its pages, and mine happens to have a leather cover. That would be a terrible form of idolatry. But when we come to the Word of God, we come to it with the same kind of reverence with which we come to God. because we know that this is his breath, this is his message to us. And so the fear of the Lord is clean, uncontaminated. And what does it say about the fear of the Lord is clean? It endures forever. Do you see, my friend, you finally found something on which you can build your life. It endures forever. My word shall not pass away. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Wow. Then you have also, as we continue on, you'll notice it says the rules of the Lord are true. The rules of the Lord are true. This is the last part of verse 9. And are righteous all together. What does the word of God do for us? Well, you'll notice that at the end of the psalm, David is now recognizing that there are some things he has to deal with. You can't get close to God without realizing that you're in need as a sinner. I think it was Calvin and his Institutes who actually began the Institutes of saying that the knowledge of man and the knowledge of God happen simultaneously. If you don't know God, you don't know who you are. Like the German Enlightenment scholar Goethe. And it's not Goethe, okay? He said, I don't know who I am, and I hope nobody ever finds out. Goethe. If God used that word to get you into heaven, some of you wouldn't make it, would you? And thank God that's not the way to heaven. But the point is, it is only in God's presence. Who you are in God's presence is who you are, period. Nothing more, nothing less. And what David is saying is now he begins to realize that this word is so penetrating. He says, who can discern his errors? Can you discern all your errors? Do I know all the sins I've ever committed? Thank God I don't have to count them. But the point is, there are some sins that we commit that we are unaware of committing. And that's why he says, declare me innocent from hidden faults. You know, the kinds of things you do that you and I do that we're not even aware of, but God calls them sin. He says, deliver me from those. But more seriously, he says, keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Those are sins that we commit and we know exactly what we are doing. We know we're grieving God. We know that we are sinning, but we go ahead and we presumptuously sin. In the Old Testament, there was no sacrifice for that, but thank God that through God's forgiveness, of course there is forgiveness for presumptuous sins. Who of us could stand up today and say, I have never willfully, knowingly sinned? All of us stand condemned. And what David said is, he said, deliver me from these kinds of sins that I might be innocent from great transgression, because the more we tolerate presumptuous sins, the more we end up committing great transgression. That's what the text is saying here. And David is saying, oh, that I might be delivered from presumptuous sin, that they might not have dominion over me. Whoever you submit yourself has dominion. And I'll be innocent from great transgression. Because sin always takes us farther than we intended to go and keeps us longer than we intended to stay. So David says, deliver me from those kinds of transgressions. And then he even becomes more personal and says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. Where's that coming from? It's coming from the recognition that if God is who he is and his word is what he says it is, that means that God knows all about me. In fact, I think I might preach on this next time. Not sure. That God knows all about me. All things are open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Oh God, may the words of my tongue and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, God, because I've been found out, and you've been found out, and I've been found out, The jig is over. God knows all about you, as indicated in the Word. How do we bring this down to some transforming lessons that should change us as we get immersed in the Word in our 40-day commitment to be changed by the Word? First of all, the value of the Word. The value. A moment ago, I skipped verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. You read that and you say, you've got to be kidding. One time, I think it was on the Discovery Channel, I saw a special on the gold rush. It was unbelievable. Men and women were willing to risk their lives. They were willing to cheat, to steal. They were willing to kill to get gold. As a matter of fact, when you stop to think of it, you wave big money in somebody's face, and unless they're deeply rooted in the Word, they'll just simply throw all their principles out the window. The power of gold, fine gold that will survive our next depression. More to be desired. You say, that can't be. Try to go down to Wall Street and tell them this. Preach this message there and see what you get. Not a whole lot of open hearts to that. Get it if you can get it honestly. If you have to get it deceitfully. But above all, get it. But David says, these precepts are more precious than gold. Because you know what? When it comes time for you to die and to give an account for God, you can die surrounded by all of your cougarans, all of your pieces of gold, and they will not help you. Yes, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. Indeed, God's Word gives us a solid foundation. It gives us something that we can build our lives upon, and all of us remember that Jesus gave an illustration about this, about the man who built his house upon the rock and the man who built his house upon the sand. Now, this is what I want to emphasize. On a beautiful, sunny day, you could not tell the difference between these two houses. If they were along the same street, they'd look much alike. It is when the floods came, it is when the judgment comes, that two lives that may look a great deal alike will suddenly show the foundation upon which they are built. You see, that's why I believe so deeply in these messages that you are listening to, because I believe that they will help us to build our life on something that is permanent, more precious than gold. That's why I want you to invite your friends. Tell them about Running to Win. Listen to these messages. And as a result of the messages, I trust that our lives will all be changed. God's Word can do it. We need to be available and let it do its thing.
Erwin Lutzer with The Word of God Teaches Us. Another message in a series on being changed by the Word. Next time, more on why the Word of God is more precious than gold. This 6-part series on Changed by the Word can be yours on CD as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.